Well, good morning and welcome to a new week on the Wake Up Call. This will be our last week in Exodus. And then we'll head into Advent. We'll be led here by Mark Sorensen, Senior Pastor of the Woodlands Methodist Church, who will lead us through his work called The Wonder of It All. It's going to be great. Lots of churches will be journeying through these days together with us at Seedbed. But we're going to finish strong this week. So beginning this week, this morning, with consecration, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You know, when I say that, I trust you don't feel insulted by that. My sense of it is like I'm coming upstairs and knocking on your door and saying it's time to get up this morning. And I'm talking to your soul. And I believe not just I'm talking. I believe the Word of God. That's Ephesians 5:14. That's the Word of God. I'm not echoing it. I believe I'm speaking it to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's actually a gift every day to be receiving this wake up call, right? I hope so. It's a gift for me. Are you ready, Jesus? Actually, we're struggling with our consecration prayer. It's in a process, a change process. I know not everybody's happy with it, and that's okay. And we're in process. Abba, the Holy Spirit is always willing and wanting to make that cry through our hearts. Abba, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Yes, Abba, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, you can go to Romans 8, and I believe it's Galatians 4, and you'll see very explicitly that the Holy Spirit is crying out or desiring to cry out in our hearts to God, Abba, Father. And that's where this comes from. We're participating. We're going with the will of God, with the movement of God's Spirit. God's Spirit's always saying two things. In fact, the Bible tells us, I mean, explicitly the Bible tells us, Spirit probably says lots of things, but we know for a fact, an eternal verity, the Spirit's crying out through us, Abba, Father, and crying out through us, come, Lord Jesus. We just are participating with Him in that. So, our entry today. Man, it's Monday. There's a lot going on. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, on the true nature of the God of heaven and earth. Our text is Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. We come to another of the most famous texts in all of Scripture. I want to call it Between a Rock and a God Place, or maybe Between a God and a Hard Place. Down through the ages, the saints have referred to such places as thin places. They become forever marked as places where the atmosphere seemed to thin out, as a window into the heavens opened up, places where glory kisses the ground. The expensive theological term for such encounters is theophany, and the Bible is filled with them. From Jacob's dream of the ladder coming down to earth, through young Samuel's encounter with the voice of God calling in the night, to Mary and the Annunciation, and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and on we could go. These encounters with the manifest presence of God narrate our shared story. Let's begin by remembering where we left off yesterday, Exodus 33:21. Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." It's a good moment to remind ourselves we aren't tourists on a vacation to the Holy Land here. We are pilgrims on a journey into the mystery of the holiness of God. Don't hear me wrong. At times, pilgrims do ride tour buses. You know, those ones with nice air conditioning and the large tinted windows on both sides. They can cover miles of territory in a day, and lots of the time you're looking out the window, gazing at the countryside as the guide points things out. A tour bus makes lots of short stops where the people get out and walk around a site, snapping photos, visiting the gift shop, and otherwise learning all the things. Today's excursion is much more than that. Today is why we came. More than walking around and grabbing a brochure and a snack, we will take off our shoes and get low to the ground. We will put our ear to the ground and listen for the seismic reverberations of the ancient, ever-radiating Word of God. In Genesis 3, after their fall from glory, the man and the woman covered themselves and hid from God. At the sight of this holy visitation, Moses was hidden by God. God hid him in the cleft of the rock. A cleft is a crevice, a split in a rock face, like a small cave-like opening. Let's go inside of the cleft and stand there with Moses. He has the two stone tablets inscribed with the law with him. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. In other words, he said, Yahweh. It has been described as the very sound of breath. In the Hebrew Bible, he says Yahweh twice. Then he goes on to elucidate the fullness of what this name means. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. In case you read that too quickly, or I did, let's try it this way. Wherever you are reading this, find a way to get nearer to the ground. Kneel, stand, and bow your body downward, prostrate yourself, whatever you can do to signal to yourself the Lord is passing by. Now speak these words aloud. You'll hear them here again. I want your ears to hear these words just as Moses' ears heard them. So are you ready? Maybe if you haven't done anything yet, just lift your hands up as a sign of surrender and receptivity to the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. This is our God. This is why we came. This is the encounter we never get over. This is not a God to hide from, but to be hidden in. His presence is healing because his nature is love. As much as I would like to end it here and wrap this up into a precious moment, verse 7 doesn't stop there. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. God's deepest nature is love. Yet his character is holy. As we have noted here before, the wrath of God is not some kind of angry emotion. The wrath of God is simply what happens when the holiness of God meets up with anyone unprepared for his presence. This is why and how Jesus saves. He hides us in the cleft of his heart. His life, death, resurrection, and ascension. I love how Paul frames the invitation to abide in the rock of ages. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's Colossians 3. 1 through 4, and you hear those very resonant words in our consecration prayer every day about lifting our hearts and setting our minds on things above. You know, I remember growing up in my small town Methodist church on the front row every Sunday, me and my two sisters sitting, Meemaw and Peepaw would intersperse themselves between the three of us to keep us from fighting in church. And of course, my mom and dad being up in the choir loft, 20 yards ahead, they couldn't do anything about it. So meemaw and peepaw were surrogates in those days in church. But I loved sitting between them and hearing, especially hearing peepaw sing loud and slightly off key, the hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Let me hide myself in thee. We're going to sing that in just a minute after we pray and get into our journal prompts. Here's our prayer. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I receive your deliverance from my false notions and images of who God is and what God is like. I receive your deliverance into the truth about God and into becoming the image bearer who is growing more and more into his likeness. Let me reflect and refract the very nature of God in this world, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And while we're here, let's just go into the next bit of that revelation. And let's, by the blood of Jesus, break generational curses. The word there was he punishes the children. Like the sins of the parents are visited on the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. And we all have generational curses in our lineage. We just need to break them in this prayer right here by faith. By the blood, we plead the blood of Jesus over our descendants, over our lineage that's come before us. We thank you for them, for all the good they brought us, and yet we also recognize that curses have come down through the line. And today, in the blood, in the name, in the power, by the blood of Jesus, we break those curses. Just participate with me in this prayer, just by faith. Break off those curses, and then we open ourselves up to the blessing of God, to the thousandth generation, receiving the blessing. And just take your generation, take our generation right now, and let it be the breaking place of the curse, where the curse turns into blessing, where it stops with us. And then blessing goes forward 1,000 generations. Yes, Lord, that's our prayer here today. This will be for your glory, for others' gain, and for our good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Now our journal prompts. I have the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. What does it mean to you today that this is the core nature of the God of heaven and earth? What does that change for you? It's just something to dwell on, to meditate on. This is one of those words I'd encourage you just to transcribe, to rescribe it from the Word of God right into your own Word of God, Holy Spirit journal, as I call it. This is why we came. All right, we're going to sing now. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. It's number two. I didn't even tell you the number. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Number 242. 242 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. I should have told you before. I've run a little bit long today, and I apologize for that, but we just got carried away, didn't we? Let's sing all four verses. I'm just listening for Peepaw singing in the communion of saints. I'll hear his voice tumbling over the balcony today. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I'll die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Amen. Wow. That's Augustus M. Toplady, 1776, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Well, we've had a good Monday this morning, and we've won the day. We've won the morning, so we've won the day. Now, let's just go out and scatter the seeds of the victory. Sowing for awakening. I'll see you on the field. For the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.